I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. It's not on? Is it on? They only gave me this thing because when I have the microphone, it's out here most of the time. Can you hear me now? Good morning. How's everybody doing? God's given us another life day. Let's use it for His glory. Amen? Is anybody enjoying the smoke? How about is anybody enjoying the smoke even a little bit? I know that my wife struggles with the dust in the air, and the smoke's causing her to eat migraine pills like candy right now. So she's struggling. And I know that many of you, some of you have respiratory issues that make life difficult. So that's not easy to say very much good about smoke. But as I was thinking about this message this morning and the past couple, 3 weeks, I remembered back to my college days. Anybody remember that far back? We didn't have smoke-free environments then. But I must have enjoyed the smoke because I ended up in a really smoky place a lot of the time in those days. The bars were the worst smoky places I think I've ever seen. And I went there voluntarily. Anybody else do that? Am I the only one? But I don't want to talk about smoke very much today. But there is one good thing about smoke. As I was thinking about this message today, I went down dozens of rabbit trails, and they started with smoke. And so God really did give me some things to talk about today. But the first question I have for you today is, have any of you recently whined even a little bit about the smoke? A little bit? Those of you that didn't raise your hand, you can go out in the lobby and get a cookie because I'm not going to talk to you today. I want to talk to those of us that whined a little bit. But I titled this thing Grumbling when I started, but whining sounds so negative. Grumbling sounds so negative. Can't we talk about something more positive than that? For several weeks, I've been struggling with what to talk about. And I've been talking to God about what should I talk about. And the Bible's full of interesting stories. It's full of parables. It's full of prophecies and parables. Can't you find something happy to talk about? Grumbling's been on my heart. It's been on my heart. I've been obsessed with the idea of grumbling for the past couple of weeks. And there have been three issues that started me thinking about this issue of grumbling or whining. And the first is the smoke. I've whined a little bit about the smoke. But I did finally find something good to say about the smoke. The second one is golf. Many of you know that I play a little golf. And I really enjoy it. It gets me out in the morning, and there's nothing better than watching the sun come up over Scott Mountain. And it's cool in the morning and it's quiet, and I just love being out there. But occasionally I hit a bad shot. Occasionally. And if a shot doesn't turn out the way I like it, sometimes I mutter something under my breath. And generally it's not happy. I'm angry. That's caused me to think about what God thinks about whining and grumbling. The third one I think you can maybe relate to a little better. It's about driving. Jean and I went down to Boise on Thursday. She had some work done on her drooping eyelid, so no, I didn't punch her in the face. But she had some work done on an eyelid. And so then we had to come home after that. And many of you that have been here a long time know that things have changed in the Boise Valley over the last 30 years. And roads aren't all the same. Buildings aren't all the same. Two-way streets or one-way streets. And they've got cones out directing you where to go. So as I encountered some of those cones on my way home the other morning, The guy behind me exercised his horn before he exercised his brake. And that caused me to mutter. How does God feel about our muttering? These seem like trivial issues, but I want to talk about what the Bible says about those things. And so I was going to talk about grumbling, and I did a little bit already, but it was really interesting this morning. I was sitting out on my porch in the dark of night. It was probably 6 o'clock, 6:30, talking to God, but help me out here, God, I need some words. And I decided, well, maybe I'm not going to talk about grumbling. Maybe I'm going to talk about trust and obey. That seems a little more positive. So at 7 o'clock, I decided I was going to talk about something else. So when you hear me talk about grumbling this morning, think trust and obey. Because it's really more about that than it is about grumbling. Let's pray. Father God, you are a mighty God. You made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. You're all-knowing and all-powerful. You gave us everything that we need to live and survive and thrive here. And you're faithful, and you'll do everything you've said you will do. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We come here today to worship you, to glorify you. Thank you for the freedom that we have to do that. God, there are many here today, as well as many of our body who are not here today, who are hurting. We're all broken. We're struggling with life, with all kinds of trials. I pray, Father, that each one of us would look to you for help as we work through these things each of us are struggling with. Father, I pray that through these trials and these struggles, each one of us will come closer to you, that we'll learn to cling to you and trust you in everything we do, that we can't have life separate from you. Lord, help us. Father, give me the words and the thoughts today as I speak. Your will, not mine, be done. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that I pray. And all God's people said, amen. So grumbling. What's grumbling? How does God feel about it? Google defines grumbling as complaining about something in a bad manner, oftentimes in the back of the room, quietly, expressing quiet discontent. So when I talk about grumbling, it's about that kind of a issue that I'm talking about, complaining, muttering, that kind of thing. What's grumbling to God? Is it grumbling when we go to the grocery store and we stand in front of the counter with eggs and cheese and milk and think about the costs of things today? Or the price of gas at the gas station? And maybe we mutter something under our breath. Or maybe, here's one, some of us mutter about the songs we sing during worship. We sing too many traditional songs or too many contemporary songs. Anybody mutter about that at all sometimes? Or about the guy that's driving down Highway 55. Larry mentioned him a little bit ago. Do you ever think about he's not driving quite the way I think he should? Or about our government? Or our governor, or our president, or our taxes, or our assessment. Does anybody mumble or mutter about those things? I do. I do. I'm guilty. Pastor Brian started a study on 1 Corinthians here 2 or 3 weeks ago, and one of the things that he talked about was the different groups, sects, he called them. I don't want to talk about sects in the church, but he was talking about sects, groups. He talked about the group that followed Paul and the group that followed Cephas and Apollos and Christ. And Paul said there was quarreling among some of the groups. So they weren't all together. There's a huge number of things, I think, that can be considered whining or grumbling. Which of these and when are they offensive to God? I use an ESV translation. And the first time the word grumbling in there is used is in Exodus 15. And if you'll remember, or maybe you don't, in Exodus 14, the Israelites had just come through the Red Sea. God had parted the sea and let them come through on dry ground. And prior to that, he had perpetrated 10 miracles on the Egyptians to let the Israelites go. And so, at the beginning of chapter 15, the Israelites are rejoicing. They're rejoicing that God had provided for them. But now, after they rejoiced, they set out, and 3 days into the wilderness of Shur, they went 3 days, they came to Marah, and there was no water that they could drink. It was bitter. And the people grumbled, right there at the bottom. The people grumbled against Moses. With God's help, Moses threw a log in the water and made it sweet. So what happened here was that the people grumbled and God provided. The next part is what's important here. God said, there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you'll diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the people, that I put on the Egyptians. For I'm the Lord your healer. So what's he saying there? He's telling the Israelites to do 4 things. Listen to my voice. Do what's right in my eyes. Pay attention to the commandments. And keep my statutes. And I'll take care of you, he says. 4 things. That's the trust and obey part. He's telling them to trust and obey. They set out soon after that. The whole congregation of people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So they're grumbling again. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you brought us out of the wilderness, out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They grumbled again. They're hungry. God provided. He fed them, gave them manna in verse 16. Or in verse 4 of chapter 16. And then shortly after that, they grumbled again because they didn't have any meat. So God provided again for them. He brought quail. So the people grumble, God hears them, and then he provides for them. And what do the people have to do? Listen to his voice. Do what's right in his eyes. Listen to God's commandments. Keep his statutes. Trust and obey. It's pretty simple. God would provide. How does God feel about grumbling so far? He doesn't say a lot negative about grumbling up to this point. He hears them and he provides for them, but that's about to change. We get into Numbers in 11:1, chapter 11, verse 1. And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. They're complaining again. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. So now he's angry. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outlying parts of the camp. So the party's over. God's starting to get angry. In chapter 12, Aaron and Miriam opposed Moses. They didn't think it was right that Moses got to do all the leading, and Miriam wanted to, and so she was struck with leprosy. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Again, God's not happy, and it gets worse. In Numbers 13, that's where Moses sent the 12 spies to spy out the promised land. And when they came back, the 12 spies reported, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And then in chapter 14, and the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, so they're grumbling again. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me in spite of the signs I have done among them? God's getting tired of grumbling. Judgment followed. So God said, none of the men have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test 10 times and have obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to their fathers. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness. It was at this point that God turned a short trip across the desert into a 40-year journey because of grumbling. So they set out again. They went by the way of the Red Sea, and the people became impatient. I think that's another word for grumbled. And God spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? We loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Judgment. The serpents bit the people, so many died. Many died. Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, so, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a serpent and put it on a pole, and if the serpent bit anyone, he could look at the bronze serpent and live. This to me is where it starts to get interesting, because we're getting closer to the New Testament. The people complain, God gets angry, he sends serpent, Moses puts a serpent on a pole, and then he provides a way out for us. If we look on the serpent, we can live and we won't die. Does that sound anything similar to the New Testament? We're going to go there in a minute. But Israel, in all of their whatever, failed to enter God's rest because of disobedience and grumbling. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They've not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath. They shall never enter my rest. Obey what? Trust and obey. Obey what? Listen to God's voice. Do what's right in his eyes. Listen to his commandments. And pay attention to his statutes. It's pretty easy. So how does all that relate to us today? How does God react when we grumble today? What are we supposed to do? And I picked 4 verses out of the New Testament that kind of points to what God's expectations are. The first is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. It doesn't talk about grumbling. Philippians 2:14-15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, he says. Philippians 4:11-13. For I've learned that when in whatever situation I'm in, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Be content. And then the last one that I included here, it's kind of a cool one. James 5:9 says, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So where is grumbling in any of this? Moses gave him a bronze serpent that they could look on and be bitten, and when they're bitten, you could live. And God told them to trust and obey, listen to his voice, what do what's right in his eyes, listen to God's commandments, and keep his statutes. Then he provided a way out when they didn't do it. Look on the serpent on a pole and live. So what does the New Testament say about all of that? Let's go to John. In chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they don't understand what he's saying to them. But what Jesus said to them was, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. And then John 3, verses 14 and 15 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. We all have the same need to trust and obey. We have Jesus. He gave us all we need. Trust and obey, same as in the Old Testament. Jesus was put on a stick, a tree, and when we believe in him, we too have a way out. And yet we grumble about various things. Why? Romans 8:28, everybody knows that verse. I know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Why are we grumbling? God's given us all we need. We're told to rejoice always, to be content with what we have. Grumbling comes out of our wants. What do we want? And that might be something different than what God has given us. Grumbling is complaining in a bad manner. We focus on what we don't have rather than all that God's given us. I think that's called grace. We need to remember what we deserve. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We deserve death, but we can believe in Jesus and live. As I was going through a lot of this stuff, I ran into a bunch of many statements that commentators were making. Commentators, is that a word? Commenters? And so I'm just going to read those. I just throw them out there, and you can decide for yourselves whether you agree with them or not. One of them said that murmuring is a sin because we complain in a bad manner. There is a need to examine our hearts. Grumbling's been described as an ingratitude toward God and blinds us to God's grace. We get so focused on what we have, we forget about what we get so focused on what we don't have that we forget about all that is God, that God has given us through grace. Grumbling and complaining suggest that God is not sufficiently good, faithful, loving, wise, powerful, or competent. When we grumble out of discontent, is God those things because we grumble? Yes. So I think the answer is yes. God doesn't like it when we grumble. Depending on our hearts, grumbling can be offensive to God. As I was studying these things, I realized that I have work to do. And I'll conclude with some three thought questions. That relate to grumbling and trusting and obeying, I've been thinking about, and as I put these things together, the first one is: we know that when we were born again, we all expected to experience the joy of the Lord. Are we doing that? Does the discontent in our lives that leads to grumbling, is that affecting our ability to experience the joy of the Lord? I think sometimes for me it does. Does grumbling affect our ability to receive and accept God's grace? If we're so focused on what we don't have and we're whining about that stuff, does that affect our ability to be thankful for what God's given us? And then the third one, does grumbling affect our ability to witness to unbelievers or make disciples? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make this. Jesus commanded. It wasn't a go on Thursday after coffee. It was a go and make disciples of many nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. He said, go. If people hear us grumbling about things, does that affect our ability to witness to them, to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ? Some things to think about. Thank you. Thank you for my time up here today. Thank you for coming to worship God today. As I leave, I got one footnote. I probably have more than that, but I'm just going to leave you with one. And that is that in the Bible, there is righteous grumbling. Not all grumbling is bad. And I think righteous grumbling, I think about abortion when I think about righteous grumbling. But I don't have time to talk about that today. So I'll save that for another day. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you that we can come together and worship you. I thank you for each one that's here today, and I pray, God, that you would just help each one of us. Help each one of us as we struggle with the things that we struggle with, all our trials. Help us, God. Help us to trust and obey you in all things. And Lord, as we go downstairs, I'll pray for the food. Thank you. Thank you that we can have a meal together. Thank you that we can share a meal together and have fellowship. I pray these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.